Hello and welcome to another episode of Fight On Montana. I am your host, Adam Healy. Today we're going to be talking about Grizz basketball. We're going to break down the season that was and go into previewing what's up for next year. Also, we're going to have an interview with Jordan Hansen from the Missoulian and 406 Sports, and he covers Grizz men's basketball as well. So let's not skip a beat. Let's get started. So it's been a while since we've had a podcast. Still depressed that the NCAA tournament was canceled. We should be watching basketball right now, but we're not. So we are left with breaking down the season that wasn't how we wanted it to be, but the future looks bright with the players that we have coming back for next year. We lose a lot, but we do have a lot of key guys and a lot of great guys that are coming in as well. If you go down basketball by the numbers, our points per game, we're losing about 64.2% of our scoring. We're losing about 47% of our rebounds and 6.2%. 49.6% of our assists, 44.4% of our steals, 28% of our blocks, and 46% of our turnovers. And how I got those numbers was just by the seniors that were leaving and also just transfers that were transferring out as well. So where do we go from here? One of the things that we're going to have to solidify is the scoring. We're losing 64% of our scoring. Much of that is Saeed Pridgett and Kendall Manuel, and a little bit with Jared Samuelson. We need to find scorers that are consistent. I believe we have those players. They're just going to have to come up with a different role. They might have to score a little bit more, might have to be able to dribble off drives as well. So these are some of the players that I see that will be stepping up next year to a different role. And the first one would be Timmy Falls. He was a good guard, capable three-point shooter, capable slasher. He's going to be thrusted probably into more of a point guard, getting buckets type player as well. Then you also have the guard Josh Vasquez. Had a pretty good freshman year, but was up and down like every freshman usually is, the up and down swing of your freshman year. He'll be asked to score a little bit more as well. Excuse me. And also Derek Carter-Hollinger, he has everything in the making of becoming the next great player at Montana. Can shoot, can slash, can drive, good rebounder. He is going to have to work on his ball handling a little bit just so he can go off and dribble off. And then also Mac Anderson is another one that's going to be getting rebounds for us as well. So I look at Timmy Falls, Josh Vasquez, and Derek Carter-Hollinger being those ones that are going to probably step up for us with points per game. And I also believe that the transfer from Utah, Nassim Gaskin, is going to be a player that is going to be stepping up big time for us as well. If you look at, go down the list with rebounds, I can see Mac Anderson stepping up in that role, and also Kyle Owens stepping up in that role and getting some rebounds, more rebounds. Also, it will be interesting to see Darius Henderson, I believe, sophomore out of UMass Lowell from Pasadena, California, 6'9". Sophomore, big, can rebound. It'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table as well. Also, one of the things that is overlooked sometimes is just the the scale of minutes that Saeed Pridgett and Kendall Manuel played. They both played last year 1,121 minutes for Saeed Pridgett and 1,119 minutes for Kendall Manuel. Those are a lot of minutes to replace, and I'm sure that they have the players to do that, but there is going to be some role searching through part of the next year to see who's going to solidify those roles, those minutes, those rebounds. I believe that the rest will follow, but I do believe you got to play defense, you got to rebound, you got to score, and you got to find those minutes. That's a lot of minutes to replace. So let's see if we can pinpoint down a player that we would most likely see to make that huge jump. I'm not looking at Timmy Falls. I'm looking at some of the freshmen, some of the sophomores that I believe will make that that leap up and fulfill those roles. I totally think Derek Carter-Hollinger will solidify himself into more of a scoring role. I also believe that Nassim Gaskin, transfer out of Utah, I believe, will solidify some of those as well. I believe that Josh Vasquez will have a spot in the roster with having more of a consistent three-point shot, as well as Kyle Owens that can stretch the floor as well as get rebounds and get some easy buckets down low. So let's go into our interview. We have Jared Hansen from 406 Sports here, also a reporter for Montana Grizzly Basketball, and also a writer for the Missoulian. So, hey, thanks for giving me some of your time and coming on to the podcast for me. So,
yeah, no problem at all. I'm glad to be on for sure, and always looking for a chance to talk some Grizz basketball for sure.
Yeah. So how are you spending your quarantine days these days?
Well, it's kind of funny. You know, right now I'm doing a combination of, you know, catching up with some of the sports that, you know, just trying to figure out cancellations and postponements and stuff like that. And I'm also doing news side stuff now too. So it's just one of those things where you just kind of got to adapt a little bit to the situation. So a few sports things here and there, a few news things here and there, just trying to pass the time and just kind of lock down in my house. So
yeah, it's kind of crazy time for sports, and everyone I bet you is just dying for it to come back.
You and I both, man. I can't tell you how weird it was to be at the state tournaments as they were getting canceled and all that stuff goes down, and, you know, watching college basketball kind of just grind to a halt. It just, everyone keeps saying it's surreal, and, you know, it really is that.
What are your thoughts on how the Big Sky and the NCAA tournament were canceled, and just how abrupt it was? It was so quick. It seemed like, you know, the NBA came out with one of their players getting tested positive for it, and then it was bang bang.
Yeah, and the wild thing is that a lot of the conferences on that Thursday morning were still up in the air, the Big Sky being one of them. And, you know, the Ivy League and I believe it was the Patriot League both canceled theirs early Thursday morning, late Wednesday night, and, you know, other tournaments just started following suit. It was interesting because the Big Sky actually had their president's meeting for 45 minutes on Thursday, and usually, you know, they just, you know, discuss a whole bunch of things in the conference, but, you know, they took the entire 45 minutes. And actually, it's interesting, you know, they were still going to finish off the Big Sky tournament, at least the Thursday games, but then as soon as they got out of this meeting, it was the SEC and I believe the Big 12 that had canceled their tournaments, the Big 10 canceled. And, you know, and it's interesting, too, because what I was told is that it really wasn't the NCAA putting pressure on these conferences to cancel their tournaments. And in fact, the reason that the NCAA tournament was canceled was because these other tournaments were just canceling it, put pressure on the NCAA to cancel their tournament, which I thought was really, really enlightening when Tom Warshaw, the Big Sky commissioner, said that on a on a conference call last Monday. And, you know, it's really interesting, you know, how that went down. And, you know, it's just not something that you ever think in your wildest imagination that you're going to see. And especially like you said, just how quickly it happened.
Yeah. It definitely left a dark stain on my weekends ahead and how I love college basketball. So going into that, like this team, they hit lows, really, really low lows, and then really high highs. The beginning of the year losing to Montana Tech, and then the beginning of the Big Sky, January and February, it looked like they were the team to beat, and mm-hmm. they were in the top of the standings. I can't imagine being a player and going through those highs and lows and then hitting the NCAA and then it abruptly halts.
Yeah, and this team was just so fun with, you know, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, the young guys bought in, and you know, I think somebody made the comment that the other day that the only other team really playing, you know, three freshmen with, you know, significant roles is somebody like Kentucky or something like that, you know, has freshmen, you know, super uber talented freshmen that come in right away. And you know, I think that's, you know, obviously it's rough for Saeed, and you know, especially Kendall and Jared both being Montana guys and Saeed being a 4-year player. I mean, you know, I won't say team of destiny or anything like that, but you know, it was a team that, you know, deserved, you know, to have the chance to go out on their own terms. And, you know, it's really crappy, and, you know, for them, and, you know, and again, just seeing how Saeed just decided to just really turn it on this year, and, you know, all his scoring and everything like that. And, you know, it was just a crazy ride, you know, covering this team. And it's interestingly enough, this is actually my first year full on covering, you know, D1 basketball. I mean, I did some stuff in college, but it was actually my first year covering full on D1 basketball. And, you know, it was an interesting and wild ride from the beginning and the end. But it was really cool to see how Travis coached up these guys. And, you know, it really just showed you how good of a coach he is to get, you know, what he did out of those guys, especially the young dudes.
Yeah, and I've always thought that Coach DeCare, he's a very intelligent coach, but he's a good developer of talent. Mm-hmm. Like looking at those freshmen and the guys that they had around them, they weren't overall larger than people, but they were skilled and they were put in the right positions. And I thought he just did an amazing job this year with that team.
Yeah, and I think one of the most impressive things, you know, going off that is just, you know, how the guys were able to, you know, not only, you know, develop, but like develop, you know, within their role. I mean, you think of a guy like DJ, you know, coming in there and, you know, just, you know, blocking some shots, making some shots, you know, being a tenacious rebounder. I mean, you know, he had his role. I mean, Mac Anderson, you know, I thought went leaps and bounds this year, you know, as the season went on. You know, and Mac was one of the guys, you know, around the team that was one of the best, when it came to scouts and stuff, and scouting reports, I should say. And, you know, just him finding a role, and, you know, Kendall, you know, turning into a great defender, a guy that can play 40 minutes a night, you know, if you need him to. And, you know, you can just go down the list, you know, Josh running the offense, you know, sometimes. And, you know, it was just crazy how these guys grew and how these guys grew into very specific roles to really help the team. And, you know, it's really a team that, you know, there's not a lot of egos there. You know, Saeed was the alpha dog, you know, everyone kind of looked to him, and, you know, Kendall and Jared, you know, kind of provided that steady veteran presence. And, you know, Timmy obviously gives you an edge, and, you know, and the other guys slotted themselves in, you know, to, like I said, you know, to those other roles. And I think that was one of the most impressive things, just how coachable the guys were, and, you know, how much they developed within themselves.
So going off of that, do you think that this team could have possibly made a run in the NCAA tournament if they got past the Big Sky tournament? I know that Northern Colorado was kind of like a thorn in their side this year, which kind of had some matchup problems. But if they got through the Big Sky tournament, do you think they could have made, you know, a couple games or one game a win in that the NCAA tournament?
I think the thing that would have really hurt them is that they probably would have been seeded as a 14 or 15 seed, and you know they would have drawn another tough matchup. I really think it would have depended on who they drew. If it was somebody that was willing to kind of get into a grinded out, ugly kind of game, you know, I think you know, the Grizz had a couple shots here and there. I mean, they could pull an upset on somebody. I mean, you think back to the New Mexico game. You know, they had a chance in that game. You know, Stanford, which is probably going to be a borderline NCAA team. You know, they pushed them. You know, the only games that they were completely outclassed was, you know, I thought Oregon and Washington, and the rest of those games that they played in were winnable games. And you know, I said, you know, just kind of depending on, you know, who they drew and what night, you know they definitely might have been able to do something. And I think for Montana, one of the biggest things that has hampered them in the NCAA tournament is that they don't have always have the outside shooting that teams that pull an upset that maybe don't have the physicality or the athletes, you know, of a high major team, you know. And I think that's one thing that maybe the Grizz are missing a little bit, is just, you know, consistent, you know, several consistent, you know, 3-point threats, as opposed to, you know, Kendall when he was on, and sometimes Timmy, and, you know, sometimes DJ, sometimes Kyle.
Well, going into next year, I kind of added up some of the totals of what we're losing going into next year. We're losing Kendall Manuel, Saeed Pridgett, and Jared Samuelson were the seniors. So that's, you know, 64% of our scoring there. Who do you think, based off of what we need to replace, who do you think could step up in a role, maybe get more rebounds, get more scoring?
I think a couple things are going to happen next year. You know, I think Timmy, I mean, obviously Timmy's one of Montana's primary ball handlers, but, this past season, it was, you know, Saeed, you know, sometimes played the 1-2, and I think you're going to see Timmy playing a lot at the one, even more so than he did this year, and just, you know, how much, he was there. And then, you know, I really think DJ is a guy that's, you know, going to truly, truly be a star. He already flashed this year, and, you know, I think he's going to kind of develop a little bit into that Saeed role. He needs to get a little bit better off the dribble, and, you know, a couple other things. But, you know, DJ is going to be a scorer next year. You know, Kyle Owens has really stepped up to the post, and he's a, you know, I think he's going to kind of fit into that Jared Samuelson role, you know, kind of a big that, you know, can stretch the floor and shoot really well. You know, that's kind of his thing. And, you know, I think you're going to see Josh step up a little bit. You know, you could kind of see him get his confidence in his shot a little bit more as the season went along, and, you know, he started hitting some of those. You know, Travis always says shoot for percentage, and, you know, I really think you're going to see that with him. And, you know, I think some of the young guys too, those two California guards, you know, are both studs, and I think they're going to come in. And but then, you know, and I'm not even talking about the guys that, you know, redshirted this year. I mean, Nassim Gaskin is going to absolutely blow your guys' socks off when you see him. I mean, just watching him in practice this year, he would have been a star in the Big Sky this year. I mean, he's slithery. He's got a good shot. You know, he's smart with the ball. He can whip some great passes. You guys are going to love watching him next year. And, you know, Jared Stedman too, Michael Stedman, excuse me. You know, he's going to be a great post. You know, he's a big dude. You know, you guys have seen him on the bench. He's 6'10", plays like a 7-footer. You know, he's going to gobble up a lot of those rebounds this next year. And, he's going to be a fun guy to watch too. I'm really looking forward to seeing him on the floor, and he's going to definitely be a force in the Big Sky. So.
Well, that's awesome, because you answered my next question. I was going to go into Nassim Gaskin. What do you think about Eddie? Hopefully, I'm saying his last name again. And Freddie Brown III. Are those the California guards that you were referring to?
No, the two recruits. Something I can't think of the names at the top of my head, but there's two really good guards that Travis signed last year that are going to come up, and they'll be studs. But yeah, Eddie. It'll be interesting to see, because Eddie's a guy that I could see transferring. I don't know if he will. I could see that happening. Just because I'm not sure that there's going to be the playing time that he's going to want. But you know, Travis did slot him in to the lineup, you know, at the end of first halves a lot. So it wasn't like he wasn't getting any time this next year. And, you know, Freddie's a pretty good shooter. I don't know if he's just kind of a reserve bench kind of guy. I mean, you know, he redshirted this year, and, you know, Freddie's really hard to tell, because, you know, you just really haven't seen much of him outside of those, Silver Maroon scrimmage. So, but yeah, I mean, he could be a player, but I really think that that guard wise, the players I got to step up next year, those two freshmen and then Nassim for sure.
So this NCAA transfer rule that they're thinking about pushing across, the where they can transfer one time, you know, no matter what. What have you heard about that? And what are your thoughts on what that could do to college basketball and even college football?
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, and it's got mixed reviews across the board. Travis hates it, and so does Bobby. They both are not, you know, they both want nothing to do with that rule. And you know, I think for a lot of the lower major and mid major, you know, teams, they're, you know, if they you know produce a stud, or you know, they get a guy, I think they're worried that they're going to lose their guy to, you know, a bigger program. And you know, I think that will, you know, probably happen in some places. But you know, I've also heard from coaches that, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you're building a culture in your program, and you know, if it's your responsibility to keep the guys around. And you know, I think for Montana, you know, they really do have, you know, that culture with Travis, and you know, that just a strong continuity in the program. And I think that, you know, a lot of people aren't gonna, you know, want to transfer like that. But you know, it's tough, because in some aspects, you know, it's hard to see a guy, you know, just sit out an entire year, lose an entire year of college basketball because, you know, he wasn't happy with the situation he was in. And you know, I mean, these are college kids picking their school when they're, you know, 17, 16, you know, 18, whatever, you know, they are years old. I mean, they're kids. So, you know, so, and sometimes, you know, like we all do, you sometimes make mistakes with what you do and what you, you know, and if you're not happy somewhere, I think you should have the right to, you know, be able to go somewhere else and play somewhere else. But it's just such a sticky situation, because there's so many different variables that go into it. So, you know, it's one of those things that there's a lot of different viewpoints, and a lot of people have some really good points.
So do you think, I always thought that if they pass that rule, do you think some of the smaller schools would kind of be more leery to play these upper colleges, upper, you know, FBS, and then, you know, the Big Ten, ACC, just because of the trying to get their players, if they see one that they like? Do you think that would happen?
You know, that's interesting. I never really thought about it like that. I mean, I suppose, you know, that could, you know, one of the reasons that Montana especially decides to play in some of these big arenas is just, you know, so these kids do have the opportunity to play, you know, in some of these big, you know, environments and stuff like that. And you know, I think that's a big, you know, bonus for a lot of these kids to, you know, to be like, hey, yeah, you know, we're in the Big Sky, you know, we play high level basketball, and you know, you're going to have a chance to come back to California and play some teams, and you know, we're going to schedule non-conference stuff, so you know, so you get the chance to experience, you know, these big time college environments. So you know, I don't know. That's a hard one to answer. Plus, I mean, the other thing with those big games is that those are money games. So, yeah. You know, and they're guaranteed money games. And you know, in Travis's contract, he gets XX amount of dollars if, you know, Montana plays in so many buy games. So you know, I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon, because you know, those bonuses add up really quickly for not only coaches but the universities themselves, and it's one of the things that helps subsidize some of these smaller athletic departments.
So have you heard of any players maybe that Montana's looking at, or maybe any players that are maybe looking to go into the transfer portal next year that maybe Montana could be getting or maybe even losing?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I know Travis has his guys, you know, pretty nailed down, you know, right now. You know, and I know they're obviously looking at, you know, some guys in the next class as well. So, off the top of my head, you know, not really. There's always a chance, you know, especially with Yagi transferring. You know, Montana should have an open scholarship, or you know, should be able to, you know, do something, you know, along those lines. So I'm sure Travis and those guys are and the coaching staff are out there looking, but I don't have anything to report at this moment.
So, say he had an amazing year this year, and you could tell he was determined. And even some games, he was so determined. Those last two games, I thought he was not going to be denied. And some of those instances where he took on, four or five players by himself. Do you think sometimes he has a hard time knowing when to pass out? Because sometimes I felt like he would get himself into trouble and take on five guys, which he can. he showed that in those games, but that sometimes that would the swing off of that is he'd get himself into some trouble sometimes as well.
No, you're definitely right. And I thought that Kendall sometimes did that as well. But yeah, he's obviously great enough to, to take on, those groups of defenders like that. But yeah, sometimes, I think he did need to pass it out a little bit. And he just, thought, just like, I'm gonna take this, and I'm confident enough in my shot to, be able to get one to go down. But, like I said, kind of going back to something earlier, I think it was, again, Montana was kind of missing some perimeter shooting this year, and I know that's not Travis's bread and butter. He wants percentage, he wants to get to the rim, but I did think that Montana did miss some of that this year. I think things might have been a little bit different in some of the games if Montana would have been able to pass out and hit some more of those chairs.
Yeah, I definitely thought the last two games specifically, like we were just hoping for Kendall, his shot did not fall down the last two games, or his outside shot anyways. That could have made a difference in those last two games.
No, absolutely. And I mean, that's a tough thing, is when you're really relying on just, one guy that's kind of your go-to three-point shooter. And Timmy didn't show it, but he was playing hurt, after he, got injured in that Eastern Washington game. And or at least I think it was Eastern Washington game, maybe it was, anyway, whatever game he got injured in. And that hurt some of the Grizz three-point shooting too, because he had kind of started to come on. And Josh kind of came on to the middle of the season, but he started kind of, not making as many shots. And Kyle kind of picked up a little slack, and Jared kind of picked up a little slack. But just if two of your bigs are two of your best 3-point shooters, it doesn't always go well.
So next year, going if you're looking at the Big Sky Conference, who do you think is going to be the favorite to win the conference next year?
That's really tough. Honestly, I would put it between a flip between Montana and Eastern Washington. I know Montana obviously loses, three really great guys, but I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at how good this Grizz team, has a chance to be next year. And Eastern, they lose a couple guys, but Shante's got a good thing going down there. Northern Colorado losing Linder is definitely going to hurt them. Trying to think, Weber obviously loses Jared Harding. I think was Josh Patton senior this year?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't, because that team is pretty solid as well. And yeah, it'll be interesting. And Montana State's gonna be better next year too, I think. I know they lost a couple transfers, but they've got some real dudes on their team, and Danny Sprinkle's a good coach. So I definitely wouldn't say Montana State's a favorite or anything, but I think they're going to be better than they were this year. And that was already a surprise to a lot of people, I think. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I think it'd be a toss up between Eastern and Montana, but I'm probably wrong on that, so don't quote me.
You never know what will happen. So,
Especially in the Big Sky.
And definitely, I will get a hold of you when basketball starts, and have you on more often.
All right. Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Jordan.
Yep. Later on.
That's going to do it for another episode of Fight on Montana. Don't forget to find us on Twitter at Fight on Montana. Also, our Facebook page, Fight on Montana. Also, you can find our Fight on Montana episodes on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and also on iHeartRadio. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us, and we would love to hear from you. Get a hold of us on Twitter and Facebook. Your questions, your concerns, your thoughts, what you didn't like, what I'm wrong about. Get a hold of us. Until the next time, we will see you later.